The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to The Shepherd at Work, a weekly program to help you learn how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. Host Mark Goldstein introduces you to individuals who are successfully and effectively engaging in marketplace ministry and gives you the tools you need to do the same. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
And welcome to another edition of The Shepherd at Work. And in here with the studio, and Mike, you appreciate this. We actually have broadcast royalty.
Yes, we do.
In the studio. We have Dawn Chubb Sipley. And if anybody remembers, decades ago in Central Florida, the Christian radio station was WAJL.
That's right.
Where Jesus is acclaimed. We acclaim Jesus.
We acclaim Jesus Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And the owner, the founder of that station was a saint. His name was Al Chubb. You worked for Al in the 80s. I met him, and of course, I was at WTLN, but I knew him and spent time with Al in the 90s. And we have his granddaughter here today.
Oh, it's so great. I met Dawn and showed her my little shelf in my office, where I've got some memorabilia that they were kind enough to give to me when I left WAJL. I don't know why, but they gave me these wonderful parting gifts, and I've kept them all these years. They've been with me ever since then.
It was so amazing to walk in and see those, just kind of a blast from the past, right next to the microphones and all.
Yep, that's right.
So Dawn, you did not follow in your grandfather's footsteps. You are not in broadcasting, but you do something so special. You work in HR, you help people get jobs, you help employers. So today, I thought what we would do is talk about employment from an employer perspective and an employee perspective from a Christian foundation. Because, you know, we know that a lot of Christians demographically will go into business for themselves. And just because they know how to make the greatest widget, they get into trouble where it comes to having employees.
Yes.
And then again, with employees, if you're a Christian, you really are looking for a place to work for more than just the dollars and cents. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to do today, I want to turn the time over to you. I'm going to talk very little. I may ask a question or two. Mike may ask a question or two. But what I'd like to do in the first half of this program is talk to a Christian employer. What do they need to know? What are some of the landmines? What are best practices? Dawn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just such an honor to be a Christian in the marketplace, because it really puts us in a position where we can be the light for a lot of folks who don't attend church on a daily basis.
Sure.
Just due to, you know, relationships with folks in the past, that's just not going to be how discipleship is done. So, but there are things that you need to be aware of in the workplace when it comes to sharing your faith. It cannot be done in a forceful way. It can't be mandatory, you know, but living a life that is on fire for Christ, you don't have to scream it from the rooftops. The actions really speak for themselves.
Right.
And having those principles embedded in your company, I think are vitally important for a successful business.
Now, having the principles in the company, you can actually write your principles or have your statement and really stay away from biblical language and still stay pretty solid.
100%. I mean, if you look at all of the religions all over the world, many of them practice and acknowledge the same principles and goals and whatnot. It's really in the details that we get divided that way. So it's very easy to do. And many companies do it. And you would be surprised to see some of the big name brands and hear the stories behind their logos and their branding and those things.
You know, what I have noticed sometimes is that companies will overtly put scriptures, they'll put the logo, you know, different Christian kind of things. And then you go to do business with them and you find that maybe the person who answered the phone has not gotten the message from the company.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly unfortunate when that happens. I think we all, as Christians, have bad days and step outside of God's best that's intended for us. So I think when we receive those kinds of things, receiving it with a little bit of grace and understanding people are walking through stuff. But yes, you know, only He is perfect. And we certainly never want to misrepresent our brand. So that should certainly be considered when branding your company and doing things like that, because you will want to do it with excellence all the time.
So from an employer's perspective, what are some of the things, a Christian business owner's perspective, what are some of the things that they need to know to keep themselves out of trouble? But also, let's say they want Christian employees. In my mind, you want non-Christian employees because that's the marketplace ministry part. Mm-hmm. But again, walk us through the employer's perspective. What do they need to know when hiring?
Well, you can share your position on anything, you know, as long as it's above board, but you cannot ask or require of that person to share their faith or make a decision based on their faith. What I have found as being a Christian in the marketplace, specifically in recruitment over the last 20 years, is that when I share that perspective, I allow for silence and then I allow them to respond with that. Christians will respond with enthusiasm and share where they go to church or ask where I go to church or how long I've been saved or something like that, whereas others would respond with, well, I don't have a problem with that. And so you're able to kind of take the temperature from that perspective. And not that decisions are solely based on that, but just kind of always remembering we want to keep people in environments where they feel safe and heard and appreciated and valued. And those are the types of cultures we want to create in our company.
So you mentioned safe, and I just thought, well, what are some of the challenges, not just Christian business, but any business person is going through kind of post-COVID or still COVID or, you know, some of the recent challenges that you've seen?
Well, of course, during the pandemic, it was challenging because the whole world melted down and halted and people didn't know what to do. And then the government intervened with these large stimulus checks, which were almost incentivizing to those that were below the poverty line to stay home rather than work. And that's really where Central Florida, maybe among other markets, saw really the crisis that we have talked about so much, because service workers they are a part of that ALIS population, and they were literally getting paid significantly more to stay home. And so the economy felt the value of those employees then. So then once unemployment went away and stimulus checks went away, there was still a little bit of a crunch. People faced death during COVID. They experienced insane loss and really changed the way they valued that workplace relationship and demanded the employers to think of employment differently. A lot of them went into gig work. And
what kind of work?
Gig work.
What is gig work?
So
I know what that is.
Okay, help us out.
That's what a musician does. He goes out on a gig. It's a one-off job.
Okay.
Right. So your Lyft, Shipt, Uber, you know, the people were making their own schedules, working what they wanted, and were able to make a pretty good living that way. They had been cashiers at McDonald's, and now they were driving for Uber and making twice as much. So then that went on for some time. Well, the gas prices, as awful as it has been, has driven a lot of those gig workers out of the economy, along with they've had to do their taxes for 2020 and 2021. And they saw what a 1099 meant on when it came to the tax man. So all of that has been making incremental improvements in our local economy when it comes to the workforce. They are returning to work slowly but surely.
You know, that's funny. Nobody tells somebody who's an independent contractor getting a 1099 that, you know, you probably ought to put about 20% of that away.
Yeah. And even if they are told, it is certainly so hard to actually implement it. You know, the average American has less than $400 of savings in the bank. So,
and Helma, and we had Christy Naruzzi on, and we found out they have $400 in savings, but they have over $9,000
of debt.
Yeah. That is amazing.
So that's really the last 2 years in a nutshell, and how I see crawling out of the hole that we've seen.
So for an employer, is there really a barren wasteland of potential employees? I mean, you hear about people spending McDonald's giving tons of money just as a signing bonus.
Well, there are certainly folks out there that are looking for work, but what I'm noticing is Gen Z is an absolutely fascinating generation, and they are now entering the workforce, and I think they are going to be what really creates a catalyst for change, because they've seen the reputation of the millennials, their bigger brothers and sisters, and sometimes even parents, depending on what that divide is. So we're about to see a catalyst of change with that workforce entering the job market here soon.
So I know this is going to seem maybe a little self-serving, but I want to ask it now because we're talking about employers.
Mm-hmm.
Because an employer can make so many mistakes in HR, why is it imperative that especially even a small business person, even a mom and pop business, come to somebody like you to recruit employees than to go it alone?
Oftentimes I see employers are kind of in an echo chamber and they only find what they've always found. And so using a third party or someone that has an outward perspective on their business, they can see holes in their business that they're too intimately close to seeing and bring candidates from very vast pools of influence. So having that diversity in mind think, I think, is really crucial. And then someone holding that top-level leader accountable for their decisions and asking them the hard questions and allowing those leaders to self-reflect through the interview process versus doing it completely internally. They only feed each other more of their own culture and the more of their own biases. So I think that's the biggest reason why someone should work with an outside party.
Cool. Plus, it would be nice to see a list of things you're not allowed to ask.
Oh, and boy.
It make your hair stand up.
Oh, I've got some stories around that I could share for sure.
Well, we're gonna talk about some more stories when we come back. We're with Dawn Sipley, owner of Sipley the Best. We're talking about employment. When we come back, we're going to talk to employees. You're listening to The Shepherd at Work. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3570.
Ladies, do you want the men in your lives to be better husbands, fathers, and providers? Men, do you want all that and more? Christ-led Communities has the answer. With men's Bible studies and group experiences, Christ-led Communities has a curriculum that meets most every man's spiritual needs. Visit clchq.org to learn about your opportunities to grow in Christ in a Christ-led community. The website again is clchq.org or 407-484-3899.
Once again, here's Mark Goldstein.
And we're back, The Shepherd at Work. Mark Goldstein in the studio today with Mike Gillen on the board and always the helpful dude.
I try my best.
And Dawn Sipley, owner of Sipley the Best. And we're talking about employment today. And the first half, we talked about employers. Let's turn around and talk about employees.
Mm.
I know there's jobs out there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prepare yourself to get the job that you really deserve?
Wow. I think you really have to know a lot about yourself first. I think a lot of people go out into the world expecting happiness to come from their job or from their spouse or from some kind of outside source, and they're always seeking. And I think once you really know yourself and the environments that you thrive in and the activities that you really enjoy, then you're able to have the discernment when you're out in the job market. So at first, I would say, honestly, seek yourself internally. The Lord gifted us with amazing talents and things that we were called to do in this world. Know what those are. Take the time to really get to know what that looks like.
Okay.
That's step one.
So now you know kind of where you are, what you would like to do. Mm. Then what?
Yeah. So then you go out there and you find the employer that is talking the magic sauce that you like. And you walk in and you ask questions and you are naturally curious. You know what your budget is. and you ask for a tour of the facility, because the secret to finding a good employer, this is my secret, don't tell anybody, is you go check out the bathrooms and the break rooms. How well kept are those areas? Because those are the two places in the facility that you spend time where you're not getting paid. I tell you what, the break rooms with the snacks and the comfortable chairs and the multiple microwaves and, you know, the things set out versus the gross ones with the unmatching chairs and the sticky floors and the weird smell of fish that never goes away. I'll tell you which employer values their people and which one doesn't.
And, you know, I do that. Mike, do you, when you go into a restaurant, do you go into the bathroom first to check it out?
Not first, but I have gone to many restaurants. When I did go into the restroom, I wish I'd gone in there first.
I do.
Interesting.
If the place is Haunted Mansion, and I'm figuring that's what the restaurant will let me see.
Yeah.
What are they not letting me see?
Oh, that's a good point.
And I don't eat there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. We learned something about you today, Mark.
Well, back to employees. So when you go on an interview, it's not abnormal to ask for a tour?
No, you really should. I once placed this high-level executive, and he was absolutely mortified when he saw his office. During the interview process, he had never seen the office, and he felt extremely disrespected by the executive-level leadership when he was placed in that area. So, yeah, you should. If you're going to spend 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you're best waking hours, I would like to see the four walls that I'll be sitting in. Yeah. I don't think that's too much to ask.
By the way, I'm just going to say this right now. We have no script. And we're just flying by the seat of the pants because, Dawn, you are such a professional at what you do. Aww. You don't need a script.
Thank you.
So here's another question for employees.
Yes.
So when you're sitting at the interview, the employer or the prospective employer knows the questions they're going to ask you. Mm-hmm. What are some of the questions that a prospective employee should be prepared to ask the interviewer?
Absolutely. Great question, because my number one knockout for any interviewee is them not having any questions. If you don't have a single question with me, with your time with me, then you're not obviously thinking about your activity in this role. So you should always go in with questions, and great questions to ask are, what caused this role to be available? It's really valuable knowledge. Was the last person fired? Was this position just recently created? Did someone quit? Why did they quit? Like, that's just good, soft information to know going in. Asking about, you know, someone in this role, where could they see themselves growing from there? Maybe you're a person who wants growth, and maybe you're a person who does not. Maybe you just want to go, you serve the way that you serve, and you're not looking to climb a ladder. And there's nothing wrong with that. I know we always love to see that upward trajectory, but some people just aren't made for that. And there's nothing to say bad towards that kind of thing. Or if you are aggressively seeking to move up in a company, you need to know what the path is, because not all companies have good upward mobility. And that's fine. That's good to know. You'll be there for a few years. You'll gain the skills that you can, and then you'll market yourself differently the next time. So those are just two really good questions to ask. And then really understanding what the job description is and listening for how the interviewer talks about what they need accomplished. A great question is, how do you define success for this role? Does the person say, you do this for me, and then that's done for me, and then this is taken off my plate? Are they talking about satisfying the me in them, or do they talk about the role in terms of what the company sees as a result? And so then during the interview, you are able to talk to them in a way that speaks to what they need satisfied.
One of the most difficult questions I've found in an interview is when I'm asked, what do you expect to be paid?
Well, my general rule of thumb is to have a large spectrum during your first round of interviews, and it's going to be very broad, and then say, once I learn more about this position, we'll be able to whittle this down some, and then turn it back on them immediately and say, what have you budgeted for this role? I would love to make sure that we're in alignment on that. I know a lot of people differ on this, and it can be controversial. I really like to talk about the money up front. It's my personal preference. I've heard other hiring managers, HR professionals find that to be very rude. They want to establish a relationship and then get down to the nitty gritty. I kind of flip the coin on the head and say, what do we work for if not for the compensation, right, you know, on the basis of a lot of things. So it doesn't need to be a tight, fast agreement in that first conversation, but let's at least make sure that our ranges are overlapping. And then you can kind of do your research and drive it in a more narrow type of way. But I do want to take this opportunity to just say females need to negotiate. I have worked with hundreds of companies and negotiated millions of dollars of salary, and my women don't step up to the plate with counteroffers like my male counterparts do.
Why is that? Or
I think it's a personality thing that's sewn in to women and how they serve and the value that they bring. They often find a lot of fulfillment in their work. And they're very relationally based. Jordan Peterson talks about men being more interested in things and women being more interested in people. And so I see them failing to negotiate sometimes on that arena just because they're excited to serve and excited about the opportunity and things like that. That's just one of my off the top of my head speculations. But I just want to encourage the women. They're not going to come with their highest and best.
Okay.
They don't.
So I'm sitting here, I'm looking at Mike, and I remember back in the day when we were coming up, the Bible for dressing and was Malloy's Dress for Success.
Boy, I haven't heard that phrase in forever.
But isn't that true?
It's true.
But so times have changed, but walk us through how somebody should present themselves. For example, if you're going in for a job that you're going to interact with people, and you have a neck tattoo, should you maybe think about wearing a turtleneck to the interview?
Well, not if you're applying for a tattoo artist position.
Well, true.
So observe the culture and how the others are displayed on social media or the company website. Try to find some of the executive leadership on LinkedIn and do some snooping around about individuals, not just the companies, and see how they portray themselves. Tattoos in general are becoming more and more acceptable, less acceptable from the neck up. Got to be honest, there's still a stigma there. But is a general rule of thumb, dressing in a way that's a step up from what's reflected in the company culture would be my advice on any interview. It would be inappropriate to go for a construction job in a full suit. You would look ridiculous.
Right.
So I'm not here to say tens all the way for any position that you apply for.
So, Dawn, we've talked about a lot of the potential pitfalls, whether you're an employer or a prospective employee. Mm-hmm. In your years of experience, walk us through, first of all, why should a business owner call on you? Why should someone who's looking for a job come to you?
Yeah. I think having a third party, a part of the relationship, can be very advantageous for both sides. I remember there was a candidate once that had applied with me, and I had sent her in for consideration for the role, and the gentleman didn't want to interview with her because he didn't feel that her image was what he wanted. She had very strong, heavy makeup on, and he was not happy with that, what she portrayed. And I said, well, why don't you interview with her? She was highly qualified. He brought her in. She looked absolutely normal. I could tell as a female that she had had her hair and makeup done that day. She would never have gotten that interview had I not stepped in and advocated on her behalf. So as a job seeker, that's why you should use someone, because it is more than the resume. It's about the relationship. And I already knew a bit of who she was. And the same to be said on the employer side, having that third party like I talked about before. And, you know, I've been in staffing. I've been a headhunter. The advantage of using a company like mine is we work on a flat monthly fee as your HR director, doing any of the services that an HR director would do. Recruitment, compliance, terminations, you know, handling employee affairs and things like that. And for that flat monthly fee, you're able to hire as many people as you want. And there's no per head charge, whereas in the staffing industry that I came in, we systematically charge between 15 and 25% of a single hire's annual salary. So if you are in a hiring mode, Simply the Best is one of the most advantageous ways to go about attracting new talent.
Plus, it also seems like you take the emotion out of the hiring and you look at the facts and all that. So, Dawn, tell us how people can reach out to you, because there's a lot of things people still might want to know we didn't cover. How can people do business with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is Sipley the Best. That's my last name proper. And then on all the social media, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, we put a lot of information out there, both for job seekers and employers.
Sipley the Best, S-I-P-L-E-Y, thebest.com. Dawn, it's been an absolute pleasure. We're going to have to do this again because I know there's a lot of stuff we haven't covered yet.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. And y'all have a great week. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Shepherd at Work. Tune in next week as Mark will introduce you to another marketplace leader who will show you how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. The Shepherd at Work, sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.